Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This podcast is brought to you by Kempower, the reliable, quick, and scalable EV charging solutions for everyone and everywhere. And StarCharge, the largest EV charging manufacturer in the world, and is also a provider of residential and commercial battery storage. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Out of Spec podcast. I'm your host, Francie. You probably know me if you're tuning in because you might be curious about how my experience over a month, over 1,000 miles with the VinFast VF8 Eco Trim has gone, 2023 model year, living with it for this long and driving it that many miles. I am the host of this podcast, like I said, where we cover everything electric vehicles and electric vehicle adjacents, ranging from stories like this, EV lifestyle, road trips, ownership, even though this is a three-year lease of this VinFast VF8, all the way to breaking EV news and interesting EV technology topics, debates about the EV space, and more. So if you are interested in that, definitely subscribe. And if you're listening, feel free to rate us on Apple Podcasts, 5 stars, if you have been enjoying it. Leave a review. Share it with your friend. Let us know what you like in the comments as well. And if there are topics you want us to cover, feel free to email the podcast email in the show notes. We love your input. Okay, how has it been to live with what I affectionately call spring roll, the VinFast VF8 Eco Trim? Pretty fine. One thing that I knew from the beginning is that this is an EV from a startup auto manufacturer out of Vietnam that is touted as one of the worst reviewed electric vehicles on the market. Okay. There are a lot of great EVs on the market, but I do think that some of the annoyances that come from the VF8 are, one, due to it being a startup. You know, they can't come out with a perfect product right away. So it's up to VinFast to iterate and improve on their product very significantly, though. And also, there are problems that you see in this EV that folks see in other cars that they've driven, just imperfections in the software, mostly in the technology there. Okay. This is how this podcast is going to flow. I tweeted out and said, hey, what questions do you have? I've been with the VinFast for this long. Let me answer them. So first, I'm going to start out with my general impressions, my likes and my dislikes, and then go into your questions and answering them. So overall, my first impressions, decent car. If you want to find a really good lease deal like the one we found, which was advertised as $250 a month with $0 down for 3 years, why not? If you're electric curious, or you just want a daily driver and that sounds like a deal to you, go for it. Budget it out. If it works, go for it. I wouldn't buy it. I wouldn't buy this car outright, especially with the comparisons of what else is on the market at the $48,000, $49,000 price point. The Eco was $48,000. I'm not sure how much the Plus is. Let me look at that really quick. VinFast VF8 Plus MSRP. Yeah, $51,000 to $52,000. No, I don't think that you should spend that much money on this car outright. Lease it. If you want to buy it out at the end, go for it. If you want to be a first adopter, but lease it first and then buy it, go for it. They're really pushing these lease deals as well. So I don't think you're hurting VinFast in that way, nor the dealerships. The overall impressions from the outside. Looking at it, I love the color. We have the green with the black interior. The Eco only gets one kind of interior, but the color's nice. The design is nice. It's a bit unique, and it definitely gets attention. People say, hey, that's a good looking car. I like it. The size of it is amazing. It is very roomy and has room for in the trunk, big space. It also has the frunk, and just interior is roomy. The build quality from how it all feels, how it sounds, and the comfort seems pretty good to me. I'm not an expert at any of these. So remember, I'm coming from the experience of I've been using this as my daily driver. I'm not a detailer. I'm not a car reviewer. I am an experiencer of the VF8 who knows a good bit about electric vehicles, of course, and vehicles in general. This is my impressions. More testing and real heavy duty testing will happen when things warm up a little bit and she gets out to the out of spec team to do the 70 miles per hour range test, the 10% challenge, and more. So we've got 3 years with her. Didn't need to rush to get all that done, but please stay tuned to the Out of Spec Reviews channel and the Out of Spec Motoring channel to see if she goes on road trips and the other testing that we do. She did go on a road trip immediately after we got her, 800 miles. A lot of people were wondering, are you going to make it? Yeah, we're going to make it. She drives. She gets from point A to B very, very well. I enjoy driving her. I think it's a comfortable drive. You just get in. One of the best things about EVs, they're quiet. It's zippy, you know, it's just a nice thing to drive around in general. I think EVs are. Okay. So like I said, the exterior design, I like the interior features and the build quality is pretty nice. I love the ambient lighting and I like how it's set up. I don't have any big qualms with the design of the VinFast personally. It's comfortable inside and it's really roomy. I think that is important to remember because if you're going to use this as a daily driver with your family or something, I think there's plenty of room. Okay, moving into the driving experience. Again, I'm not a performance driver. I'm not a car reviewer, but I do think it drives quite decently. It's not too soft of a suspension or too hard. It drives around just fine. I think it's comfortable. I think the steering responsiveness is good. The braking is great. The acceleration, great. It has where it takes a little bit of a beat when you put your foot on the acceleration. I read somewhere it's more like to mimic, you know, what internal combustion engine vehicles do. Not sure if that is exactly why VinFast did it versus sometimes like in other EVs, you put your foot on the pedal, you're shooting into outer space. This is not so much that, but I don't think everything needs to be quite like a rocket ship. The overall driving dynamics, I think it's more of a commuter. It's not a sports car. It's not a performance vehicle. So I think it matches up with that market segment. Nothing really stands out about that. And I'll leave it to Kyle to really take it on the roads and see what he thinks and gives his review in the future. As of the range, you can see what we got for range in the Out of Spec Motoring channel, parts 1 and 2. That was fun. Jordan and I drove the VinFast VF8 and a Model Y side by side, 800 miles. It wasn't to do an apples to apples comparison. Don't be silly. Tesla has been around for many, many years, perfecting their product. VinFast has not been around for as long. And this is the first time that their products are getting to this market. So it was not a comparison, but we did see averaging about 65 miles per hour over 800 miles, 2.7 miles per kilowatt hour efficiency with the VinFast VF8. It's about 1,000 pounds heavier, but it has a bigger battery than the Model Y. And the Model Y got like half a mile to a whole mile more in efficiency. So we saw 3.7 miles per kilowatt hour, but we also saw down to like 3.5, 3.3. So there is a distinction and that definitely adds up in time. The Model Y is more efficient. I don't think anyone would have a question there, but that's just to give you a little bit of insight on how that went. Charging, it does not charge very fast. And I am relying on public DC fast charging at this moment because I do not have the ability to have at-home charging, even in the way that you think I haven't tried. No, there's no possibility for me where I live. I am going to work on that, get a family member to install a universal charger for me in their garage, but you know, not in a huge rush. And I think it's a great opportunity for me to understand how the experience with public infrastructure can be. And there are a lot of people who rely on DC fast chargers. And there is one CCS DC fast charging station in a 50-mile radius from where I live. And that's for anyone else within that radius. I would have to go to another state to get to the closest next DC fast charger. That is bonkers. And it is four stalls, Electrify America, and two of them have been down since I got this EV. So over a month. And of the two that are functional, one is consistently derated. Electrify America, if you're listening, please. This is a city of 600,000 people with one DC fast charger. I called Electrify America and the very helpful, you know, woman, I was like, can we try to get these back online? No, there's a problem. There's been a problem. There's tickets in for them to get repairs. Apparently they're waiting on parts, you know? I tried to do my best to see if she could prioritize it at all, but I'm trying to use my platform at least to see if we can help people get access to charging, because there are a lot of people who are depending on this charger, and four stalls isn't enough. Two stalls is not enough, of course. Anyways, it doesn't charge very fast. So it's about 40 minutes to charge on a DC fast charger. 150 kilowatt is as high as the peak charging would go. The highest I've seen is 120, and I think that was in more ideal conditions on the road trip. Haven't seen that, I don't think, here. I've seen short peaks of over 100, but then it hovers around 80 and goes down to around 60 kilowatts. It's been challenging, but I only have to charge the car based on my driving around like every 2 weeks or something. So yeah, comfort and convenience. I think that it is comfortable to sit in the car. I think it's comfortable to drive the car around. Like I said, I think driving an EV around is just a better experience in general. The ambient lighting is nice. The heated steering wheel and the heated seats are nice. I turned on the AC because it's getting warm and it wasn't that cold. Oh, we have really hot summers everywhere. Everyone has really hot summers, but I'm a little bit worried that there's something off with the air conditioning. And so I'll have to play with that. No answers on that yet. And also, moving into the infotainment and the technology, this is really where the VinFast falls short. It's outdated to say, I mean, maybe that's a way I could describe it. It's nothing like the Apple experience or the Tesla experience, but they're not the only automaker, VinFast, who has poor infotainment and poor software. So that is definitely where they should focus. There are a lot of weird quirks. It's a bit clunky. It's not super responsive. It's not always intuitive. And there are some things that are just a bit annoying. Some things that I like, the 360 camera that you can use that, that there are some, what do I like with the infotainment? I just think it's a little, it's just quirky. I mean, the software is just quirky. You can use Apple CarPlay, you can use Android Auto, but I've experienced and other people have experienced that it will connect to your phone when you don't want it to, when you're in your home. So that's annoying. I don't use Apple CarPlay. So I am just plugging my phone in to charge and using Bluetooth for the music. The sound system in my VF8 Eco is sad. It's sad. There's happened points where there have been weird malfunctions where demons are coming out of the front speakers. That has happened twice. I tweeted about that. Hasn't happened since, but it's just not a great sound system. I haven't listened to music in the VinFast VF8 Plus. Perhaps it is better because they are different designs. It has different driving modes, but also like sitting around mode. So it has camp mode, valet mode, and pet mode. I've used pet mode. It works. Great. One thing I noticed was that the lights, the headlights, and the parking lights stay on, even though the car is in park and locked. It does seem to have some channels of communication that don't always interact. The car might be parked and locked, but some part of it doesn't know that it is. Like when it's charging, sometimes it doesn't know that it's charging because it'll tell you to get out if the battery gets too hot. That also happened on our out-of-spec motoring trip. The battery got to over 95 degrees Fahrenheit and said, oh my gosh, EV battery overheating, stop and pull over and to a safe location. It was like, you're parked and charging. One, you shouldn't be freaking out over this temperature, but two, don't you know that you're parked and charging? We don't need to pull over. Things like that. The side mirrors tilt down when you're reversing and parking. I think that's a nice little feature. So there are things that they've thought through. There are things that I don't think they have thought through. It beeps a lot, which, okay, I would trade beeping a lot if it didn't beep so loudly. It is deafening and you cannot turn it down. So it beeps at you a very, very high amount, and it does so, and it hurts my ears. It between drives, it resets a lot of settings. So I'll put it in eco mode. I will say, please don't monitor my driving like you are my mother in the passenger seat. But by the next time I get in, it forgets that. I've heard that you, as long if you set some of those settings while the car is parked before it starts moving, you have a better chance of it remembering it next time under your same profile. I haven't necessarily tried that yet, but it does reset a lot of settings between drives. The poor sound system I mentioned, slow charging speeds on DC fast chargers, software quirks and oddities, and then the key fob design. I should have brought the key. Let me go get the key fob. Just in case you're tuning in on YouTube, I'll show you. Okay, I'm back. So if you're tuning in on YouTube, I'm holding up the key fob that, if you're listening, it's rectangular. At the top, it has the panic button. In the middle, it has the lock and the unlock button. And then at the bottom, it has the unlock the trunk button. The design of this key, I would say, let's try again, VinFast. Kyle thinks that it feels like it's upside down, which I guess if you put it on a key ring, it could kind of be upside down because you would want to hold it this way if your key ring was hanging like this. So yes, but also there's no like braille on here or, you know, texture to let me know which button is lock or unlock. So you always have to look. I've read that people said that their car was designed when you walk away, that it would just lock. And you walk when you walk up to it, it would unlock. It doesn't do that. There's a button on the driver's door. So you have to go up and press that button to lock it or unlock or use the key fob. I think that could be improved. I think that's just something that we have the technology for. Let's do that. Also, if any of the doors are open, like if the hatch is open, you have to close it before any of the doors will lock. I also think that's a little bit of an annoyance. So these might seem like small things, sure. They might seem like things that if you're paying for a $50,000 car, it should have. Okay, those are kind of my list, but I'm sure a lot more things will come up as I go through your questions. So like I said, you tweeted at me and y'all tweeted a whole lot of questions. By the way, if you want to follow me on Twitter, my handle is hey_Francie. Jordan, who rode next to me on the out-of-spec motoring 800-mile road trip with the VinFast VF8 in a Model Y, said he's still trying to recover his ears from that horrendous excuse of a sound system. Are you still getting compliments on the color? What has improved in your time since getting it home? When we first picked it up, it definitely did have some issues with the sound system that have happened a little bit here and there. At first, I didn't hear really what Jordan was talking about, but definitely the sound system kind of is really not that great. When we first picked it up, also, Kyle was pressing a lot of buttons and the infotainment screen froze, and we had to figure out, one, how to restart the car and then restart the car. That has not happened since. I think that in the first few days of waking these VinFasts up and getting them on the road, you might experience some weird things. Would you recommend it? What do you enjoy the most and the least about it? How is the app? I would recommend it if you want a lease, if you're into supporting the startup Vietnamese automaker, VinFast, if you want to kind of enjoy the novelty of it and contribute to that community. I would not buy it, like I said. I said what I like the most and least about it. How's the app? That's a great question. I'd show you the app, but my phone is my camera. So I will tell you about the app and put in some photos here. The app is really basic. It's more, I think you can get information about your car. You can see the state of charge, where it is. You can unlock it. Unlock it, you can honk it, you can do those things as long as it's connecting to the car. So sometimes it's a little glitchy. I tried to lock it in a parking lot and it wouldn't. So that's really what you can do. I think they need to add more and more things. Like it says that you can enact pet mode on the app, but you actually can't. Camp mode, like that. So the app, I think, is just kind of there. Has the software gotten any better? Does it actually save your setting? Will it preheat battery yet? No. No to all those questions. Has there been an over-the-air update yet? How has the charging experience been? I haven't been made aware of any over-the-air updates that have happened. Some other owner or leasers that I spoke to said that they think over-the-air updates are happening because in the middle of the night, their phones will start playing music because they have connected to the VinFast at like 3 a.m. I noticed that sometimes when I get in, the VinFast does seem like it has restarted. The way that it starts up the screen, it has these like default settings where it's in degrees Celsius and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, she slept really deep tonight. She might have either restarted for whatever reason or gotten an update, but I haven't been made aware of any over-the-air updates, nor has anything seemed to really change dramatically. But I would love to know if there have been any over-the-air updates. I haven't gotten any notifications. The charging curve, the average efficiency. Well, I told you 2.7 miles per kilowatt hour on the 800-mile road trip, hovering around 65 miles per hour. Charge curve and stuff, I wouldn't say it's great, but I'm going to leave all of those hard details to the testing that will happen in the future. How is the support from VinFast? What is the process if there are issues? The support from VinFast in the beginning, I emailed VinFast directly, and they then reached out to the dealership to get me direct help from the service center. So it was very quick. They're very kind. I think they pretty do have a hands-on approach with their customers here. And the dealership, like I said earlier, really responsive, really helpful. So I think that they are doing a good job in supporting the customers, in my experience. If there are any issues, I have no idea what I will do. Of course, maintenance is less on a electric vehicle, but I was looking at where I could go. So it would either have to be, like, if something is terribly wrong, I would have to ship it back to North Carolina, or there are stores in California. There's also apparently one in Wichita, Kansas. So those are my options. California, Kansas, North Carolina. That's what I would have to do. Or perhaps there could be an over-the-air software update. But I think at the point where VinFast is, it's similar to like Nissan when they had to do an software update to fix something in the Aria. You still had to bring it into the dealership. Over-the-air updates, home charging situation, software bugs, likes and dislikes after 1 month. So home charging situation, I don't have it. Software bugs, aplenty. Like I've described, I think I've answered most of that. Thanks, Adam. I met Adam in... That was in Texas. Hi, Adam. Hope you're doing well. Would you spend your own money for one? No. I don't think so. I think if I were going to spend my hard-earned cash on an electric vehicle, it would be a different one. But I can see why this would appeal to you. And I see why the lease deal appeals to people. I do. Have you received any software updates? Again, not that I know of. If you could change two things, what would they be? The sound system? This is a great question. Two things. The sound system, for sure, because I love music so much. And I love driving in cars because you get to rock out. And I would also change, maybe if I could really fix anything, it would charge better, but charge quicker, be able to peak at higher charging speeds. I think the size of the battery is pretty decent, but if charging was halved to 20 minutes instead of 40 to get to 80%, that would be really cool. What is the best thing about the VF8? The best thing about the VF8, I think the driver's assistance is really, really great. I've had trouble with like driving in the Rivian when you pass a semi. And if you want to get away from the semi, you are fighting that truck to edge over. The VinFast lets you adjust in lane and then restores you to center. And it does have all these safety features that I do find quite annoying. And I turn them off because they're like, they say, pay attention on driving and do all this stuff that are, it's really important, right? But I am a safe driver, and sometimes it's not totally seeing exactly what you're doing, and I just don't like all the bells and chimes. But I do think, for what it's worth, safety is important, and it has a lot of great safety features. What is the most surprising? I think when the demons were coming out of the speaker, and it truly, my friend and I were doing errands. We were in the car driving around listening to music on the decent, on the poor sound system. We got out, we got back in. It's actually like screaming demons from the front speakers, and other people have experienced this as well. So I think that was the most surprising. But perhaps the most surprising for other people is that it's actually quite a nice experience. I should find another owner, do a show with you interviewing them. That's your lane and you are amazing at it. Ah, thanks, Jones. I did interview a couple that we met in the dealership who thought they were going to buy, but found out that the lease was so much of a better option, and they that will be coming soon onto the Out of Spec podcast. I think in a week from when this podcast comes out. Typical question would be comparison to Model Y, but how do you think it stacks up against something like a Cadillac Lyriq / Blazer EV? Others of similar form factor. So I wouldn't compare it to the Model Y. With Tesla, you get the supercharger network, you get years of improving the product, quite different, better efficiency. So I think if you're really going down to all those specs, it's not really a comparison. I think it is more of a comparison to the automakers who are also coming in fresher into the electric vehicle space. I mean, the Blazer will come back there. It seemed to be fixing all those software issues. And the Cadillac Lyriq, I mean, that's like a very expensive car. If you're going Cadillac Lyriq or this, and you're trying to save money, definitely go for the VinFast VF8. So I don't really think those are in comparison, unless I'm missing something. Some people have asked me about the ID4. I think there's a question later, so I'll wait for that. Someone says they actually almost went to North Carolina themselves to get one of these to make content with and as an SUV for their wife. How has the home charging been? Any issues, or has that been very smooth? It has not been experienced. I will be documenting that once it happens. I just need to get an electrician and basically get my ducks in a row. After seeing how it does on a long road trip, how do the nice features and the inconveniences fare in daily driving, more or less noticeable? I would say daily driving, they're not really noticeable. I also have a positive attitude. This is an experience, but nothing really, oh my God, drives me crazy. It's just more like, okay, how do I figure out how to make this work for me? How do I figure out to not have the settings reset every time I get in the car? But otherwise, there's nothing where it's like really impeding my comfort of the drive or anything like that. So I would say on the road trip, it wasn't very noticeable, like all of the quirks, the software quirks. The one thing is the sound system, I will say. I would say they're less noticeable, if not the same noticeability, but definitely not more noticeable, although I've learned more things about the car. Hi, Tom Suburbs. That's from nickname Suburban, who was on the podcast too to speak about the Fisker a couple months ago. Comparing the driving experience to your ICE vehicle, not other EVs you've experienced, do you enjoy driving it? How the ride quality and practical everyday use as a dog owner is, and as you do everyday errands? And by the way, the new podcast logo is a great design choice. It helps pop and stand out. Thank you, Christopher. We like the new branding as well. Appreciate that. Practical everyday use, I think it's great. I love the space, easy to get around. Driving an EV compared to an ICE vehicle is pretty different. It's quieter. I feel like I'm driving something cool. Like it truly is fun to drive around, and I really enjoy the experience. I like not having to buy gas, but I do still have to experience the public DC fast charging, lifestyle, which isn't the best. How's the overall build quality holding up? Any new squeaks or rattles? No new squeaks or rattles. People hear squeaks or rattles all the time with their Teslas, and I gotta say, no squeaks or rattles with the VinFast, nothing new. It's a really solid build. I mean, if you open one of these car doors, either the hinges are really tight or it is a heavier car. It's 1,000 pounds heavier than the Model Y, like I said. So it is a solidly built vehicle, and it feels so. So I would say that's more similar to like the ICE cars that I drive. You know, you're not trying to go after the most efficient. It's still a really heavy vehicle versus EVs. They're trying to, you know, lighten it up, get that range. But VinFast definitely didn't go for the most lightweight version. That's for sure. Update on the use of the infotainment system. I've covered that a good bit. Curious if you had follow-up with the dealership. They never called me back. I think they're pretty responsive, so call them again. Don't y'all know what it is to be a squeaky wheel? Yes, definitely. I'd like to hear more. Great, I'm telling you more. Has the software updated? How's the route planning? What's your favorite thing about it so far? So, the route planning. It's fine. It seems a little outdated. But actually, I put in a destination the other day, and it gives you plenty of information. It routes you there. It'll put in a charger if you need it. So I think it's pretty decent, but I think most people will use their phone or Apple CarPlay just because that's the way that they do things. It is a very decent backup to the system that you have. So I wouldn't say it's inaccurate at all. In fact, it's even more accurate. The decimal points go about 2 or 3 further than your phone will. So instead of 15 miles, it's 15.023 miles. Which would be a better lease deal? Ioniq 5, ID4, or VinFast? I actually don't know what the lease deals are. Okay, the MSRP for the 2024 Hyundai Ioniq 5 is from starting at 41. So that's cheaper. The ID4 is starting from 39. So that's also cheaper than the VinFast, which was 48 for the lower trim. if you were going to lease any of them, I would go drive them around and go for longer than 10 minutes. And actually, when it comes down to it, like, what is your use case? Are you going to road trip this? Then you obviously need the EV with the best range and the best charging speeds. So I think if you're considering those options, the ID4 charging peaks are at around 185 kilowatts. The charging curve is solid, but not great compared to others on the market. The IONIQ 5 has pretty solid range and pretty great charging, peaking at 240 kilowatts, but has pretty limited charging performance on Tesla superchargers due to the voltage architecture of the EVs versus what the Tesla superchargers are capable of, the 800 volt versus the 400 volts. And the IONIQ 5 has the best charging under ideal conditions, but the Model Y or a ID4 with a adapter for the Tesla supercharger network when it comes out would probably have better real world results. The ID4, the Tesla Model Y, and the Hyundai IONIQ 5 are all very good options in the real world. So just some two cents for you there. I think it's up to your use case for sure, but to keep those in mind and how you'll be using the EV. But if you can get a really good lease deal, again, and you're okay with the quirks compared to, I don't think the IONIQ 5 or the ID4 have quite as many quirks, then go for the VinFast. Now, did you have anything that you thought was going to be a problem, but after living with it, realize that it's not that big of a deal? I think the quirkiness of it is really not that big of a deal. You just have to be fine with it and learn what is quirky about it. If it had better software, would I recommend? Yeah, I think that would change things a good bit and a better sound system. Okay, so that is all your questions. Thank you for asking them. Of course, that's not the only place that you can go. There are different forums that I've been on as well. And I've been kind of seeing like what other folks are saying, because some people are really passionate about that. So I'll just show you briefly the forums that I have been checking into. Of course, there's Reddit. And I did see that someone had posted problems experienced by VinFast US owners. So I'm going to bring that up as well so that we can share in this. Mid-drive, it just shuts down. That has never happened to me. I've never felt unsafe. Profile settings are not saving. That is the same for me. Lane assist setting always resets to emergency lane keeping. The car will pull back if you change the lane without a turn signal. It's inconvenient and dangerous if you need to change the lane fast to avoid collision. I'm not sure if I necessarily agree with that statement that if you don't use the turn signal, it should just let you change lanes without giving you any pushback. That's what the lane keeping is for. Forward collision warning and automatic emergency braking don't work. I don't think that's the case for me. I think the sensors are very sensitive, but I haven't tested it. I haven't put it to the test. Slow charging, yes. Random alerts and warnings come and go, yes. There's a lag in the navigation app. I think this thing is laggy. Like I said, it's quirky, it's laggy. I don't think it's too much of a bouncy ride and the app is useless, sure. Driver's door mirror randomly changes position. I have noticed this. Sometimes when I get in the car, the mirror is just how I left it. Sometimes it's like tilted down. I've heard that if you just let it warm up more in the morning or whenever you get in before you start driving it around, like give it a second, maybe it can restore itself better. Lights and audio display continue to stay on even when delay set to zero. Yeah, I do think it takes a while for this car to go to sleep. Remote app does not unlock doors. I've experienced that. Parking brake shouldn't engage automatically unless on an incline perhaps, and should disengage automatically when drive or reverse is selected. I don't think that's that annoying. I think the parking brake has a use and it's being used as it should, as a parking brake. So these are some similarities that people are seeing. Cooling system error after car wash or heavy rain. Oh, I haven't put it through a car wash or really been in it in heavy rain. The chime for regeneration not available is too much. I can get over 100 chimes in a minute going downhill. I want to charge my car to 100. Why? But it's not worth dealing with that chime nonstop till I get below 95%. Lawrence, why are you charging to 100? Please fix the lag in the pedal. I can stomp on the pedal and the car will go nowhere. It's very dangerous when jumping into traffic and the car has a 1 to 2 second lag. Learn how the car drives. That's my opinion. If you know it takes your car a second to speed up, just learn that. But I do think some of these chimes that it has and warnings are the glitchy aspects of it. There's also this other forum called VinFast Talk. I think this is a little bit more glitchy of a site than I like, and it's just talking about VinFast in general. VinFast itself has a forum. that I've been looking at what people are saying about battery charging, car reviews, discussions, EV technology, lifestyle, ordering and delivery, and owner's tips. I think this is really great that VinFast has this forum so that they can stay tuned. Okay, so I did comment on this list that someone had about they listed major and minor issues that they had, and I experienced a good bit of them. Someone had commented that there's a fix to like all of these issues that someone listed, and I was like, you really think there are solutions to most of the problems? Not all, but many of what you listed in your post. It's not my post. Owners forums allow you to see what others have done with some of the issues you encountered. You may be surprised at what you may learn. It isn't a perfect car, but for the money that you paid, current lease, you can't get a better deal. How do they know what I paid? But it's true. I think that the lease is a good deal. Again, I can't confidently suggest that you buy a VinFast. What do you think? It's a pretty decent car. I think that it has great space. Some of the features are really nice. The driver's assistance, I would just love a better sound system and less laggy. So my question is VinFast going to be able to improve significantly because we are building cars more and more around software and the user experience? You know, we're from ICE cars to EVs, you're expecting to be in a little bit of a spaceship. But as I've spoken to other people that have adopted this EV into their life, usually with the lease deal, they are okay with the fact that they will run into glitches and they are more curious about going electric and what that means. And they're curious about the novelty of the EV. So to each their own. I hope I answered most of your questions. If you do have more, please let me know in the comments and I will just go through and type some answers to you. But hopefully you enjoyed this video of me answering my questions and just giving you an update on what I think about Spring Roll. I think it's been really fun to drive her around. I enjoy it. If I had at-home charging, I think a lot of my experience charging would be better. Just charge her overnight, never worry about having to go out 25 miles to go to the nearest charging station. That is half down. Electrify America, please. Begging you to do your job at that station. Okay, that's all I have. Thank you for tuning into the Out of Spec podcast. Really, I hope you enjoyed just hanging out with me today as I kind of shoot from the hip, answer your questions, and I will see you next time on the next episode. Let me know what you want to hear about. Looking forward to it. Have a great rest of your day. Bye, y'all.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.